Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro. Today, we will be revisiting some of our favorite conversations from the fall of 2024. We start the program by speaking with Archbishop Michael Miller of Vancouver about a sacred covenant that was signed between his archdiocese and the Diocese of Kamloops with the Kamloops First Nation in British Columbia. After that, we will reconnect with singer-songwriter Alvar Lees, who's been doing some work with children and youth. In our second half hour, we will be hearing from Alex Kendrick of the Kendrick Brothers about their 2024 film about men and mentorship, The Forge. And we end the show by reconnecting with singer-songwriter Jackie Minton, who is now living in France and has a new album, Suggests, dedicated to wisdom. And of course, we'll also listen to some great music. Remember that you can listen to all our programs at slmedia.org/podcast. And to comment on what you hear or to ask any questions, look for me, Deacon Pedro, on your social media. You can also email me, pedro@slmedia.org. We begin now with a sacred covenant. On Easter Sunday, 2024, Archbishop Michael Miller of Vancouver, Bishop Joseph Nguyen of Kamloops, and Chief Kupki Roseanne Casimir of the Tecumloops Tishekwepmek Nation signed a sacred covenant with the goal of fostering healing and reconciliation and showing a deep commitment to truth and a desire to walk together. In May 2021, it was the Tecumloops Nation in Kamloops, British Columbia that reported what they are now calling anomalies on the grounds of the former Kamloops Residential School, an announcement that unleashed a fury of emotions and brought the issue of the residential school system to the mainstream, and renewed a passion across the country for finding the missing children who attended these schools between 1890 and 1996, some 4,000 who likely died while in the 150 schools, according to the Center for Truth and Reconciliation. Some will even say that Pope Francis's visit to the Indigenous people of Canada in 2022 was precipitated by that Kamloops announcement. Even though Indigenous people in Canada have had a relationship with the Catholic Church since the 17th century, and many of their people have been Catholic for many generations, the signing of this agreement forges a new relationship between the Church and Indigenous peoples, reflecting a mutual acknowledgement of the Church's role in the residential school system. To tell us more about this historic agreement, I am now joined by Archbishop Michael Miller of Vancouver. Archbishop Miller, welcome.
Thank you, Deacon Pedro.
So maybe the first question I should ask you is, in general, what is a sacred covenant?
In general, a sacred covenant is not a contract. It's a kind of agreement, I guess we would say, between parties. And I think the word covenant is chosen to reflect its scriptural origins and background, that there is something more than transactional about it, that a covenant is about establishing or confirming or furthering relations among people.
Right. And I think that if we do follow the biblical meaning of covenant, that it is an agreement in that one party agrees to something and the other party agrees. So yes. It's both?
There, it's both. Makes it,
yep.
It's a set of, you know, obligations that each party assumes.
Right. And for listeners that maybe are not familiar with the background, what would you say led to this sacred covenant with the Kamloops
I think
Nation?
the remote background are the broken relationships that appeared very clearly beginning probably maybe 20 years ago between the Catholic Church and Indigenous peoples in Canada. That's the remote background. The more immediate background, of course, to this covenant was the discovery of the anomalies at the Indian Residential School in Kamloops that led to such an outpouring of just general sentiment in the public and among Catholics and certainly among First Nations people. That's the more immediate. And in light of that experience, and the particularly the Chief Jules Manny and Phil Fontaine mm-hmm. were kind of on the lookout or wanted to find a means to further and foster better relations between First Nations and the Catholic Church, and the notion of covenant, sort of that's where it came from, that we should do something.
Yeah, I was very interested. I'm curious to know what that first conversation would have been like when the idea of entering into a sacred covenant with the Kamloops Nation would have been like.
You know, to be honest, the first conversations were not with me directly.
Right.
They were with James Barkowski, who kind of leads the indigenous file, so to speak, for the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. And right. I'm not sure whether that was whether the notion of covenant was the first word that emerged, or whether in the desire to improve relations that it landed upon that concept that had already, I believe, been floated in some other jurisdictions.
Right. And for listeners who maybe don't know who you mentioned, the one chief, and of course, former Grand Chief.
Chief Phil Fontaine and Chief Manny Jules, former chief now of the Tecumloops First Nation here in British Columbia.
Right. So it's important to note that, is it fair to say that then the idea was initiated by?
Yes, I think from the First Nation side, also with Chief Roseanne Casimir.
Who's the current chief, correct?
Who's the current chief. They were, to use an expression, they were all in on it. They all saw that something could and even should be done.
Now, would you say that, I mean, obviously, since you were part of the agreement, you signed it, that you agree that this is the appropriate, that this is a very appropriate move as the church begins to heal and the First Nations, the relationships
yes,
begin to heal?
Yes, I think it's not the only appropriate move, mm-hmm. but it is, I think, a move that contributes to reconciliation, to healing, to truth, to justice, and so on, when considering the Catholic Church and First Nations people. I certainly do believe that. And we had a nice confirmation of that in the letter that we received from the Secretary of State when we celebrated together on Easter Sunday. And it says, His Holiness Pope Francis sends cordial greetings to all who are present for the signing of a covenant between the Tecumloops Tehsequemmith Nation, the Archdiocese of Vancouver, and the Diocese of Kamloops. In light of the sufferings of the past, His Holiness hopes that this generous gesture will be a further step on the path toward truth and reconciliation.
That is wonderful that you received a letter from the Secretary of State, but it's the Pope,
signed
right?
by Cardinal Parolin. Piero Parolin.
Yes, he's the Secretary of State of the Vatican. Now, more practically, what are some sorts of statements or commitments that the covenant contains?
Yes, at the, you know, the covenant contains sort of a historical background and record, a description kind of what's happened. And at the end, there are commitments made. Mm-hmm. And among the more important or the primary commitments are the Archdiocese of Vancouver supports honoring and memorializing all of the Indigenous communities' efforts to do precisely that for the Indian Residential School, that we would mm-hmm. certainly support that even financially. We've also committed to historical research, mm-hmm. and we've put a lot of effort into that. We have very good archivists who are working so that every child can be, in fact, accounted for. Mm-hmm. Who died at an Indian residential school. There are records found in various places that can be put together for that, and we're already engaged in doing that. We've also promised, if requested, to provide scientific expertise for now more sophisticated ground-penetrating radar, there are systems that are, well, they're just superior. They're better technically to be able to identify mm-hmm. possible graves. We don't know. More than anomalies, which is what is reported.
Right, absolutely. And now, is there a hope that this type of agreement would be shared with, or that is something that other dioceses or other...
Yes, I mean, we've shared it. It's been certainly sent to the bishops of Canada. And of course, it's up to each individual diocese to see whether this is the best means to further reconciliation. It might be in some places, it might not be. Mm-hmm. And it really depends upon the First Nations in the area making the request that they investigate a covenant.
I see. And would you say, I mean, I think it does, but it falls very clearly as part of the commitments that the Catholic Church has made since the calls to action from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and even the commitments that have been made recently from the Canadian bishops?
Yes, it certainly does fall within those guidelines.
Yeah.
But I would like to emphasize, maybe every diocese is not in the position to do this. It would depend upon the local situation and the local indigenous peoples, whether they would think that this is appropriate at this time for them.
Right. Now, this is an important step. I don't think, I heard it described as the first step, but I know it's not the first step. It's one of, there's been many steps before.
I think
but
it's part of a, it's a part number of a series. Steps of a journey that
but it's
began
clearly not,
and will continue.
Right, but it's clearly not the last step. So
it's
what are
clearly
your hopes?
Not the last, and the,
are
the
there any
commitments
any,
suggest that. They tell us it's not the last step.
Are there any concrete actions as you move forward that you hope will come out of this?
Well, I hope that besides the specific things that can be done, you know, scientific, archival, and so on, that it will renew the spirit of peoples on both sides. Because I think that also needs healing, our openness, our willingness to understand others, dialogue, and so on. I hope that those are permanent, acquisitions of having signed the covenant.
Mm-hmm. So do we. And we were very excited to hear when this happened. And so I'm very happy that you were able to take some time to explain it a little better to us today. Archbishop Michael Miller, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Deacon Pedro. God bless. Take care.
That was a conversation I had with Archbishop Michael Miller of Vancouver earlier this week. The Kamloops Residential School operated from 1890 to 1969, and at one time was the largest residential school in Canada, with as many as 500 students. The school building still stands today. It was in May 2021, after a survey with ground-penetrating radar, that disruptions in the ground were found, at the time reported as unmarked graves. Based on their placement, size, and depth, the assumption was that these were remains of as many as 200 children who may have died while attending the school and were buried there, instead of being returned home. These claims are disputed, and 3 years after the announcement, the decision to excavate the site has not yet been made. To learn more about the Canadian Catholic Church's relationship with Indigenous people and what led to Pope Francis's visit in 2022, go to our website, slmedia.org/walkingtogether. And also, while you're on that website, you can look for the Healing and Reconciliation section. So that's slmedia.org. Here now is Alverlis with her new single, inspired by Padre Pio, Stay With Me. I'll be That was Alverlise with her new single, Stay With Me, Lord. We met Alverlise in 2021 when we learned all about her album, Arise. We also learned that Alverlise is a singer, she's a songwriter, she's a guitar player and worship leader from the Diocese of Brooklyn, Queens. Now, these last couple of years, Alverlise has become more and more involved in children and youth ministry, and she has some new singles. One, the one we just heard, Stay With Me, Lord, which was inspired by Padre Pio. And so to tell us more, I am now joined by Alverlise. Alverlise, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. Yes, thanks for having me again. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and I wanted to start talking to you about this new phase in life with your son and your homeschooling. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. Why did you choose to homeschool?
You know, many reasons. I was honestly feeling, at least with my son, like he didn't quite fit in this box. I think they try to put all children in this kind of like box, like, hey, we're going to sit for 6 hours and we're going to. And my son is a lot more hands-on, and he's a very curious child, and he's very bright.
Yeah.
You know, so he's six, but he reads second, even some third grade.
Yeah.
Level and yeah. Math, he's doing like second grade,
yeah,
even a little third grade level, you know, and we put him in kindergarten. It turns out he was very bored, and then he started getting in trouble because, you know, he was like fidgety and so he came home and said, like, I'm not good at school.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, buddy, but you love learning, and school is all about learning.
Yeah.
So it was that, the I'm not good at school. And two, more than once, he was, you know, because we put him in a public school kindergarten. He would say, how come no one talks about Jesus?
I was going to ask you about that. If you had the chance to go to a parochial school, or I guess all those Catholic schools would be private. You'd have to pay, right?
Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately we didn't get, like, you know, enough funds for that or coverage or scholarships. We tried, but we feel even if we did, like, homeschool is the best option for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And for now, because maybe it'll change as he grows.
Yeah. Exactly. And we're taking it year by year.
Yeah.
At this point, so far he's like,
good for you.
I love this.
Yeah. Good for you. I don't know. Yeah. Of course, I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to be reading like grade six level next year, because that's homeschool kids are usually pretty smart and they have your full attention. So, so then you're homeschooling, but then you're also visiting some of the Catholic schools for choir.
Catholic schools. Yeah? Right.
So,
yes.
How did you start doing that?
It's funny, they reached out to me.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm always telling the Lord, I'm like, you know, Jesus, I want to do your will. I want to dedicate my life full time to your service, right? To ministry, to music ministry, and whatever else you have. Mm-hmm. And I have a history, I have a background of working with children. I used to own a daycare.
Okay.
I used to work in public school. I was a para. I worked at Montessori schools. That was like my background. And then, you know, a school reached out. And they said, you know, we want the children to be more involved in praise and worship and liturgical music.
Okay.
Is there something you can do to help
Interesting.
Us? And I went in and I said, why don't we start a choir? And it just took
What
off
an interesting there. Idea. So these are elementary schools?
This is elementary school and junior high school. So it's K-8.
Oh, interesting. And they want praise and worship and liturgical. Interesting.
Yes,
that's
right.
Unusual.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I'm doing is I go in once a week or whatever it is, and we sing with the choir, and I teach them a mix of praise and worship and traditional. And then what we do is for all the school masses, feast days and things like that, holy hours for the school, the kids sing with me.
Super.
I'm used to going into schools and singing for their feast days and things like that. This is different. The kids sing with me
or
they sing and I lead them, and they lead their peers.
Yeah. What a great program.
Yes.
That sounds super cool. And of course, now you're making me think that you're probably a really good homeschool mom, because you have all that experience. Tell us about Padre Pio. Why the connection with him?
I'm fascinated by him, and I'm still learning more. I feel like there's so much.
Yeah.
But I'm drawn to his life, his dedication, his complete surrender to God. And I feel sometimes like he is kind of like a spiritual father to me, just because I've been so drawn by him. This particular prayer, "Stay with me, Lord," really moved me. One, because of this, you know, when you read the entire prayer, there's this like desperation to it. Like, stay with me because I'm weak, right? And otherwise I will forget you. And that just, Padre Pio is praying this, you know.
Yeah, I know. Amazing.
This man was completely surrendered to God. He had, you know, supernatural gifts.
Yeah.
And he still felt that way. And it just reminded me of our own weakness. We need to embrace that.
Yeah.
More and just how much we need him. And it brings us closer to him when we become like children, dependent. You know, I see my son, he's dependent on me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the relationship that God wants with us, right? This closeness, this need for him, dependence, you know. So that prayer really moved me. And you know, whenever I pray psalms or read the word, a lot of my songs are drawn from scripture and prayers. And this time, you know, saint's prayer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. If you find that most of your inspiration comes out of prayer or things that you read, spiritual reading or scripture.
Yeah, it's a mix. It's really
it's a mix. Yeah.
It's really a mix, yes.
Do you think that there's going to be more inspiration coming from Padre Pio for more music? Yeah,
I think so. I don't know. I feel like, you know, in this season, I feel more drawn to him. So I'm, you know, I'm just learning from him.
I'm intrigued of what you said something very interesting that, so you're in this new phase with homeschooling and your 6-year-old son and Padre Pio, who we think is like a spiritual giant, was very much like a child. So there's a connection there of where you are in your life.
I think so. And there's no coincidence. Everything is providence. I think God has, you know, kind of like put Padre Pio kind of in my sight a little more during this season, specifically because I'm working with children. And again, yeah, he's a spiritual giant, but reading this prayer, man, I was like, this is like a child.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, just the humility of the prayer and everything just really moved me. And you know, made me understand why he became a spiritual giant. Because, you know, if you're like this, like a child, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. It makes sense. And Saint Therese is one of my favorites, and she's
of course
also very childlike.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
That's my girl.
Yeah, completely, completely dependent on God and surrendering to God. That's very difficult. So so these are singles that you've been putting out. I think that that's what a lot of people are doing now. It makes easier with the whole streaming platforms. But is your hope to write a few more and then put together an album?
Yes. I'm actually working on some songs right now. Right now we're working on a song based on a psalm and some others that I'm trying to, you know, finish. It's a little harder now with homeschooling because now, you know, my son is there all the time. I love him. but it's good. You know, it's still, I'm still writing and God is still inspiring and I'm still, I don't know how, but God is giving the grace and the time for me to write. So I'm working on one now and hopefully I can have a few others that we can put together an album with these singles.
Yeah. And then you have to then get the children's choirs to join in on some of those refrains and record them.
Yes. Well, guess what? That is a plan.
Oh,
I
love that.
That is one of the plans, to be honest.
It's a great
especially
idea.
Now.
Yeah.
It is one of the plans. My son actually came up to me last week. He said, "Mommy, I have a song that I'm writing." And he sang it to me and it's absolutely beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I got chills, like not because he's my son, but I was like, wow, that is so pure and so like, wow. And so that's one of the songs I'm thinking of working on with him. Stay tuned and include the children's choir because I think that would be really nice. It's a beautiful prayer that he was praying and he just sang it to me. And
I love it. Okay, so there's something there to look forward to. We will stay tuned. Alverlis, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your music with us. And I mean, I don't have to tell you to enjoy this season of life because it's a lot of fun when our children are still home, small, and homeschooling them. What a privilege.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much for having me.
You can learn more about Alverliz and find out how to get her music at her website, alverliz.com. And I'm going to put that link on our site so you can find it easily, alverliz.com. And you can also find her music streaming everywhere. Here now to take us out is Alverliz with her new single, Love Pour Out. We're listening to Alverliz with her new single, Love Pour Out. This is a special edition of the Saltonite Hour featuring our favorite conversations of the fall of 2024. I'm Deacon Pedro. You can find me on your social media and check out our website at slmedia.org. Hello and welcome to the Saltonite Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. Do you remember a film from 2003 by the name of Flywheel? How about Facing the Giants, Fireproof, or Courageous? How about the 2015 War Room? Those are all films by the Kendrick brothers. How Alex and Stephen Kendrick ended up making films as part of their church ministry in Georgia is an amazing story in itself. Their latest film, The Forge, tells the story of a young man who, out of high school, is without much direction until he receives a push to start making better life decisions. It's a film about mentorship and discipleship. And to tell us more about it and about his 20-year career, I am now joined by Alex Kendrick. Alex, it's so good to meet you. Welcome to the Saltonite Hour.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Look forward to talking with you.
I hope you can indulge me a little bit. I'd like to go back to the early 2000s.
Okay.
Tell me how you got involved. Why did you want to start making films?
Well, growing up, dad was a minister, mom was a school teacher. I'm the middle of three brothers. So Shannon is my older brother, Stephen is my younger brother. And we did not have a television for much of our childhood. So it was a big deal to be able to go to see a family-friendly movie at the theater. Right. I remember looking at the screen thinking, one day I've got to do this. I've got to make movies.
Okay.
And as time went by and I am able to see Star Wars, Indiana Jones, whatever, I remember thinking, I want to do the Christian version of all this, which was me just trying to mix all of Hollywood's stories and standards with sprinkling Jesus on the top as if that was a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And my parents warned me, Hollywood's not the route you want to take. And they prayed for me. And so both my brothers and I, at different points in high school, gave our lives over to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In college, though I wanted to study film, there was not a film degree at the local college that I went to. And so I majored in communications and then told the Lord after graduation, I'm ready to make my first movie. And the Lord said no, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going into ministry, which I loved, and spent 10 years as a youth pastor and associate pastor. And in 2002, I was at a church called Sherwood Church in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the pastor, what if we make a low budget movie for the community?
Right.
And he said, if God is in this, I'll support it, but I don't want you to do it for any other reason than it's ministry, and which is very wise. And I began trying to tell the Lord what movie we should make, and I just needed him to bless it.
Yeah.
And as you know, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea.
Yeah.
And if you submit yourself to God, he will direct you in a path often that's not what you expected.
Absolutely.
And so I ended up making a movie called Flywheel about lordship. That was the theme. And a small little movie, and it was very hard to make. It was harder for me than I expected. But dedicating that to the Lord and trying to honor him all the way through, which is the only thing we did right, the movie kind of exploded, and it ended up selling 1.3 million DVDs. And the response was far greater than I ever imagined. And so the Lord humbled me. I realized I'm not that good of a filmmaker, but when you honor the Lord and walk with him, he can still accomplish more than we ever ask or imagine. And that sent us on our journey. So 2 years later, did Facing the Giants. And and the Lord, again. Every time, it's interesting. Every time we make a movie, the Lord, we lay the groundwork in prayer. The Lord directs the theme. He tells us what direction to walk
okay.
in. But it's always harder than I thought. Even though we've learned a lot, every movie stretches me because the Lord makes sure we're learning what we're preaching. And that is hard. And so, yes, it's
what a blessing, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a blessing to be able to learn as you go, what the Lord is calling you to, the areas where the Lord is calling you to minister. So I know you made four or five films with Sherwood, and then eventually you and your brother began continuing making films under your own production company, the Kendrick Brothers. Has the mission or the idea of making films that are good value Christian films, has that changed, or how has that evolved?
No, it's not changed at all. We realized when the Lord would guide us to it, and first, let me say this. Our target is always the body of Christ first. Now, that is not true for all filmmakers, and I'm certainly not trying to represent all filmmakers, but for us, the Lord has called us to edify and exhort the body of Christ first. So some people say, well, you're preaching to the choir. Well, the choir needs it.
That's
our primary target audience. Yes, we'll put the gospel presentation in our films. That's for the spillover into other audiences, but our primary audience is to help the church be the salt and light we're supposed to be.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
So when you ask, is our mission still the same? It is the same. And we made the first four movies with our church, but each movie that got bigger, and you know, going back to Fireproof and Courageous, it also taxed our church.
Yeah.
Because when I say it taxed, not in a bad way, but it took so much focus off the other aspects of ministry of the church, and everybody began to refer to us as the movie church.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just the movie church. Well, we had a Christian school and even a seminary and a crisis pregnancy center and a counseling center and all these other things that took a back seat. And we're now in the shadow of this developing movie reputation. And so we did not want to hurt any other ministry. And so as the movie ministry grew, we met with the pastor and said, what should we do? And we decided we would stay at the church, but make the movies in our own company where we could go anywhere they needed to be shot.
Of course.
And so that's what happened when we made War Room and then Overcomer and now The Forge. So it was a healthy cell dividing to grow. But we're still at the same church even today. So So we're grateful for the church giving us that call to the mission and the launching pad. But yeah, that was an interesting journey.
It sounds like, and it's good to hear that prayer has always been kind of at the center of the ministry. And I'm intrigued by the idea that you might ask the Lord, you know, what's the next film that you want us to make, and the Lord directs you. So let's jump ahead to The Forge. How did that idea of men's ministry, if I can call that, or mentorship, how did that idea come to be placed in your heart?
So I would say it started a little over 2 years ago. We were asking the Lord, what direction do we go in? He started turning us in the direction of discipleship. He does that, you know, verses flying off the Bible in our quiet times. And when he starts doing it in our team at the same time, even my brother saying, yes, it's discipleship. And so we start diving into what all does scripture say about discipleship that we can communicate to today's audience in the most biblical way. So we are looking at discipleship, and there's one verse, my goodness, it jumped off the page and just punched me in the face. It's Luke 9:23. And that's where a crowd of people are following Jesus. He turns and he says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you break that verse down, just that verse, to deny yourself means that you are no longer pursuing what your interest or ego or passions are first. You are now taking a back seat and saying, Lord, you are in the driver's seat and I will follow your lead. So you deny yourself. Then the second part, take up your cross and follow me daily. You do this daily. Well, what's a cross for? A cross is for death. Something is going to die. And it may be your desires, your dreams, your hopes, your status, your finances. The Lord only knows, but you have to prioritize him above everything else. Where he's not just an ingredient in your life. He is the priority of your life, and be willing to die to whatever the Lord needs you to die to for his glory.
Right.
And then when he says the last part of it is, and follow me, well, a disciple is a follower, is someone who doesn't just read about or believe at a distance. You are intentionally following with your life, your Savior. And so that just that verse just gripped me, and I kept trying to digest at a deeper level. And so we start writing the script for The Forge, which is about a young man going through this discipleship process.
Yep.
With all the ups and downs, twists and turns of it. And oh my goodness, the Lord speaks to me while I'm writing the script, and he says, Alex, take yourself out of this movie. I was a character in the movie.
Okay, yes. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, he says, take yourself out of this movie. And I was stunned. I remember sitting there with my laptop in front of me writing, and he, you know, the way the Lord speaks is not necessarily in a loudspeaker in your ear, but there is a speaker in your heart.
Yep.
And so when he said, take yourself out, you're the presenter of this story only, and you need to also practice denying yourself. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Lord, please. Wow. You know, this is a movie we're making. Why can't I be a character in my own movie? And so, but I could tell the Lord was impressing on me, you need to even deny yourself. So I did. I struggled for several days, and then I ended up deleting my character altogether out of The Forge. And then after that, he says, do not chase awards. Don't try to aim and don't submit this movie and try to win awards and personal fame. You turn around and you give that to me. And I was like, wow. So the Lord, I could tell, was teaching me. This sounds funny to say, but he was teaching me how to die so that he could do what he wants to do. So when we made The Forge, it was a hard movie to make, but it was a blessing to make. Our team was wonderful. Our actors were wonderful and believers. So at the end of the day, the Lord was working on me the whole time. We're making a movie about following Jesus in with a devoted heart. So
Wow. What a powerful experience. But the movie is not just about denying yourself and following Christ. It's also about a group of men who, who disciple each other and how we are called to disciple each other. So that's a whole other aspect that I would not have taken from reading Luke chapter 9.
No, you're exactly right. So when Paul in scripture says, follow me as I follow Christ, and he's talking to Timothy about take what you've learned and give it to other faithful men who will teach others faithfully. There is a process of us growing, just like Jesus did with his 12 disciples. As they're growing with the Lord, they then in turn pour it into the next generation or to other disciples, and you multiply that way. And so The Forge in our movie is actually a group of seven men. It didn't always have to be seven, but in the movie, it's seven.
Yep.
Seven men who are pouring into seven younger men, and they collectively meet like a couple of times a month. And they're in, because, you know, all of us have different strengths, different spiritual gifts, things like that, to pour into this younger generation. And we do believe whoever wants the next generation the most is going to get them.
Yeah.
So the body of Christ has to be pursuing and investing in the next generation. And we've got to put more emphasis on discipleship, not just preaching from the pulpits, though we need that, Because when you go to church, your pastor's preaching from the pulpit, but you're not asking him questions from the from the seats. You're not saying, here's my issue I need help with. We need those small discipleship groups in each other's homes or in a coffee shop or, you know, Sunday school class, wherever it needs to be, where we're walking with each other, edifying each other, keeping each other accountable. And that's the way the body of Christ grows in a more healthy manner and faster manner, I should say. So, yes, you're exactly right. The Forge is also about small groups of the body of Christ discipling each other.
Yeah. And in a way, the way you've described how your filmmaking career from where it started making films in a church, I think that there's something about your filmmaking, you and your brothers, what you're doing that is actually discipling the rest of us as we follow your stories. Alex, we're going to bring it to an end here. Thank you so much to you and your brother, Stephen and Shannon, and for what you guys are doing and for bringing this particular film and so many others to our attention and for what you're doing and for doing it in a prayerful way. And thank you for telling us about it today.
Well, thank you. I hope more people see The Forge and that they're challenged spiritually. And thank you for doing the Salt and Light. I love it. And I hope we cross paths again.
Alex Kendrick is one of the Kendrick brothers. Their latest film, The Forge, is still in some theaters and is also now available for renting and purchase on Amazon Prime and Apple TV. Find out where to watch it at theforgemovie.com. To listen to this conversation again, visit our website, slmedia.org. Here now is Jackie Minton with Magdalene from her new album, Suggest.
In the midnight, I did not find the one whom my heart lost. So by the moonlight, I searched for street lights to find the one whom my heart lost. I had hardly even left, taking a few steps when I found you. Oh, I found you. I sought and found, I sought and found, I sought until I found. You were sitting as they were watching, but they couldn't see your fate. So I told in memory. I sought and found, I sought and found, I sought until I found you. You saw me weeping, well, you were gardening, pruning round the tomb. You asked politely, but I did not leave. I couldn't tell that it was you.
We're listening to Jackie Minton with Magdalene from her new album, Suggest. We met Jackie Minton in 2022 when she had just released her second project, Earnest Voice, which she recorded during the pandemic. Right after, she released her third project, the scripture-inspired Genesis. And now, Jackie has just released her fourth project. This one is titled Suggest, and it's inspired by the biblical books of wisdom. To tell us more, I am very happy to welcome Jackie Minton back to the program. Jackie, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour. It's so good to see you.
Thank you, Deacon Pedro. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and you're joining us from France.
Yes, I am. The internet's amazing.
The internet is amazing. So you're spending some time, you're spending a year teaching in France?
Yes, that's right.
That's correct. But it's not your first experience in France.
No, I spent a couple of months here last summer and just fell in love with the culture and the food and the churches and the cheese, I
The churches and the cheese.
think. Churches
That's a good title for your next album,
and the cheese.
Churches and
I
Cheese.
think so.
And I know that when we talk about the album, I mean, sagesse is a French word, so I know that there's going to be a connection there with France. But before we talk about sagesse, I wanted to ask you about Genesis, because when we met 2 and a half years ago, I think that you were just starting to work on that project, Genesis. And I
Probably.
seem to remember that you were, I don't know if it's a thing for you always, but at the time, kind of very inspired by scripture, which is why you wanted to do something called Genesis. And I think
Yes.
suggest is the same kind of idea. So I'm interested in that in terms of the inspiration from scripture.
Yes. So Genesis started as an it all of my music comes as an outpouring of the heart. And but I started to realize that there were themes in the music that I was writing that echoed back to Genesis. And I was in a relationship at the time, so I think just like the and I was also going to a theology of the body group, where we were just discussing and reading theology of the body every week. And so even though I wasn't like thinking about it all the time, it just like seeped into the songs that I was writing. And so when I realized that Genesis would be a way to encapsulate those songs, I and some of yeah and really taking on like the theology of the body with that and not shying away from those topics, and then but coming at it from the eyes of scripture. So there's the first song on the project is Eve,
Right.
and yeah, is a song that I wrote and then later titled
Interesting.
Eve, writing it
Yeah.
from her perspective. But this new project, Sagesse, is a continuation of that,
Okay.
and that it's a similarly, all of the songs came from the heart, and then it was like in retrospective, it was like I knew I wanted the next project to be based off the books of wisdom,
Okay.
and Sagesse is French for wisdom,
Wait.
so it was like okay, there are seven books of wisdom in the Bible, I need to go through and pick seven songs.
Okay, is that so
But
that there are seven songs? Is
yes,
that
there are seven
okay, that's why.
songs
Okay, I get
for
it.
the
I'm getting
seven books
it.
of wisdom.
Yeah.
I'm unpacking it all. Sorry if I'm moving
No,
too
but this is
quickly.
so, but let me just get this straight. So you're saying that the songs were coming even before you realized that there was a connection with the Book of Wisdom. Or were you already thinking Book of Wisdom, but you already had some songs that you later realized were actually more connected to the Book of Wisdom than you
Yes.
thought? Okay.
Yes,
That's.
exactly. Yeah, I had already written Time Too, which is a song straight from Ecclesiastes, and other things. And it was like, okay, these are echoing wisdom themes. And then I just went through what I had written and was like, okay, well, this is my Job song, and this is my and this has like psalms, like psalm
Song of
references in
Songs,
it, and
yeah.
this has Song of Songs references, and yeah,
Okay, that was going to be
kind of
my next
parsing
question.
through.
It's like, can everybody name the seven books of wisdom? That's going to be the homework. She already told you Job and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. Did you find that you want people to reflect on wisdom? Like, I'm trying to make the connect, because even with theology of the body, to think that to write a song that's going to help people enter deeper into the idea or the mystery of theology of the body through the Genesis story, or it seems a little too intellectual.
Yes, probably.
But it isn't, because it's music. So
Right. I want people to receive the songs as they are and it, as they're flowing from my story, right? But if somebody wants to dive deeper, it's like, well, this is why I connected them, or this is how they
okay.
came together. It's funny though, like the right, so the Genesis being and then the books of wisdom. I have like in my head, I'm like, okay, the next project is it all came in one night. I was like, okay, these are my next four projects.
Okay, that's good.
And I don't have all of the songs for all of them, but I have a good chunk of songs for each. And it was realizing like I have been writing from scriptural themes and I want to embrace that more forwardly, but I want it to keep it conversational to anyone who just wants to receive the songs without that lens.
Right,
Because I
because the
think there's some, yeah, there's something for everyone there.
yeah, and because the wisdom is universal and eternal, so even people that have no idea that that there's a scriptural connection will still get something from it. Because I mean, these are songs that have to do with just like stuff, life, love, and like you said, it comes from the heart, so it has to do with the heart and the joys and sorrows. Everybody goes through all of that. What do you
Absolutely.
hope? So then, what do you hope for people who are listening to the music? Do you hope that maybe they will go to scripture, or that they will use the words and the music to help them in their own journey through finding wisdom, or both?
Gosh, yeah, I think it just depends on the person, but I hope that the songs will journey with them and maybe give them new words or a new lens to look at the scripture. If it's like, okay, I know the words of there's a time to laugh and a time to cry and a time to, if it's like, okay, maybe somebody already has those words, but they haven't like put that into like, what does that look like in my life? And like being in the season I'm in and accepting that and receiving that from the Lord. Or it could be like giving those words to someone who's never had them before. And it's like, oh, I'm so just to let the song meet the person where they are, and to let Jesus do the rest. I'm just the messenger.
Yeah, no, but I also think that in some sense the songs are also for you. And so here I'm going to go back to the French connection, because there's more of a connection other than just the name being in French for you, right?
And it was, I was torn because I didn't just want to name the project Wisdom. I was like, I don't want to like claim to be wise. I'm not like, I'm not trying to say like, here's I'm so wise and here's my wisdom. It was like I wanted to cover it, and to make sure people didn't take it from that perspective. So in the process, I just made it difficult for people to say.
Yeah, such as.
But to me, it's also like, okay, this is the Lord calling me to France, even for a time. It was like, this is what my heart has been walking through the past 4 years. And so it was an acknowledgement of that, of what the Lord has done and is doing. I was gonna try to translate this. I've actually translated two of the songs into
I
French.
wondered if there would be
And
any of the tracks in French.
I wanted it to be, but my accent just isn't quite good enough yet, where it's like, okay, when I sing it, I want it to be like, I want it to be great. So I'm gonna wait until after I've spent a year in France, and then I'll
And
track.
then do some recording. That would be
Yeah, in
awesome.
French.
Okay.
I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely. I hope you can. Thank you so much for reaching out and sending your music so that we could feature you on the program. And it's so good to reconnect. And
Yes.
good luck in France. Enjoy
Thank
the
you.
churches and the cheese and the
I
wine.
will.
And
Yes.
have a blessed Advent season and
Thank
Christmas.
you, Deacon Pedro. You as well.
You can learn more about Jackie Minton, purchase her music, and stay in touch with her at her website, jackieminton.com. And of course, you can find her on all streaming platforms and on social media. If you missed any part of this interview, head on over to slmedia.org/podcast. All our programs are archived there. Here now to take us out is Jackie Minton with Understand from her new album, Suggests.
Darling, we don't have to agree, but we could. try to understand.
We're listening to Jackie Minton with Understand from her 2024 album, Suggests. And that concludes this special edition of the Salt and Light Hour. You can learn all about Salt and Light Media, support what we do, and watch Salt and Light Television at our website, slmedia.org, and also on our Salt and Light Plus app that you can get at your favorite app store, Salt and Light Plus. If you have any questions or comments, or just to say hello, send me an email, pedro@slmedia.org. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been a special edition of the Salt and Light Hour.